Okay, Rabbeinu B'chai Parshas Va'era. So Rabbeinu B'chai begins with the pasuk in Mishlei Perek Ches Pasuk Chav Beis. Hashem Kanani Reishes Darko. Hashem created me the first of His ways. Kedem Mifalav Me'azam, from His first actions. Anyway, that's the translation of the words, but Rabbeinu B'chai explains this al pi Kabbalah, that Reishes refers to something called Chachma, and that is something that even Malachi Hasharis do not have access to, cannot be masig. So this Reishis is, again, it's referring to this thing called Chachma, and it is before Maisa Bereishis, and that's why the Torah starts with the word Bereishis. It refers to something that is the best, not just the first, but the choicest. It's where things come from. This is a Kabbalistic stuff, so I don't have a full grasp of it. But it's something that he says the Malachi Hasharis do not understand. And he says that the Torah comes from this Chachma, and that's why the Malachi Hasharis were jealous. When the Torah was given, everybody knows the famous Medrash, when the Torah was going to be given to the Jewish people, the Malachi Hasharis complained, and they said, why are you giving people the Torah? Keep it in Shemayim. And Hashem, or Moshe, responded, but doesn't it say Zochas Yom HaShabbos, or Lo Sinof, Lo Sirtzach? So you can't, Malachim don't have that. They don't kill, they don't do adultery, they don't steal. So of course the Torah has to be given to humans. So Rabbeinu B'chai just points out, not in these words, but it also says, Lo Sachmo, don't be jealous. So what in the, and Malachim don't have that either. What does it mean Malachim are jealous? Malachim don't get jealous. They don't have bodies, they're not physical, and they don't have emotions like we do. So it doesn't mean they were jealous. He says it doesn't mean literally they were jealous, obviously. It means that they didn't understand. It was something that was they could not grasp. How could Chachma, this thing called Chachma, the Torah comes from Chachma, this Chachma that's called everything comes from Chachma, it's Hashem Kanani Reishis Darko, everything comes from the Chachma, how could it be that human beings will understand this Torah and grasp this Chachma when we Malachim can't? It's impossible. That was their kinna. And exactly what the answer to that is, I don't know that high level what the answer is, but Hashem made it that the Jewish people would understand. Moshe got this high level of understanding this through Chachma. However, and again, that he says he got this level he attained through Chachma, again, okay. But this, the other thing most of us have at least heard of is this Aspaklaria HaMe'ira versus the Aspaklaria She'enim Era, that Moshe Rabbeinu was able to see through a higher level of Nevuah than anybody, because he saw through this clear glass, and all the other Nevi'im saw through a translucent glass, something like that. Anyway, Rabbeinu B'chai here says that the Aspaklaria Me'ira refers to Rachamim. And that's seeing the shame Hashem, Yudkei Vavkei. The reason someone explained that Moshe got to see the Aspaklari Hamira, which is connected, Rabbeinu B'chai says, to this higher, the Yudkei Vavkei, which is Midas HaRachamim, is because Moshe was the greatest Anav that ever lived, and therefore an Anav is someone who will have Rachamim on others, so he got Midah Keneged Midah, this high level of this seeing this high level of Aspaklari Hamira, which is Rachamim. And so he saw Yudkei Vavkei, whereas the Avos did not reach that level. They only understood Hashem, or saw Hashem b'nevuah with Kel Shakai, with other names of Hashem, not Yudkei Vavkei, or whenever Yudkei Vavkei is mentioned with them, it's also with another shame attached to it. They never saw just the shame Yudkei Vavkei. Anyway, that's the beginning of the Parsha. This is why he's saying all this stuff, and because the beginning of the Parsha is Va'ira Avram El Yitzchak V'Yaakov B'Kel Shakai. I appeared to them only Bekel Shakai, v'shmi Hashem l'nodati lahem. They did not ever grasp that Shmi Hashem, that Yudkei Vavkei. Moshe was on a different level. Now Rabbeinu B'chai also points out something interesting, that it does change in the sense that the beginning of the Pasuk starts with Va'era, I appeared, and then at the end of the Pasuk it's l'nodati. I appeared to Avram, but with the shame of Hashem I wasn't known to them, l'nodati lahem. So that's a change to be consistent would have been said lo nirasi lahem. So why does it switch to lo nodati? Anyway, it's the way Rabbeinu Bechai explains it is Hashem appeared to the avos b'maros halayla, and that's the lashon of va'era. Whatever, like just to put it in our terms, the level of nevuah that they reached, that the avos reached, was called re'iyah, but the shem, the higher level of Moshe, of panim al-panim, that was a yediyah. So that's why it's Vishmi Hashem lo nodati lahem. I did not come to them with yediyah like I did to you, Moshe. That's the change, because Moshe's nevuah was on a higher level of calling yediyah. All right. Past the Kabbalah now. All right, so it says that there are four, every nun knows the four lashonos of a geula, v'otzeiti, v'itzalti, v'galti, v'lakachti. We know that from Pesach. Everybody knows. So, but what does it mean? The four lashonos of gulas, or Rabbeinu Bechai explains, v'otzeisi refers to getting out of being slaves. V'hitzalti means getting out of Egypt, period. Not just not being slaves, but getting out of the whole country. V'ga'alti, it refers to that they will be saved in Kriyas Yamsuf. In other words, that not just that they got out of Egypt, but they don't have to live in fear that their oppressors will one day come and find them, because they all died in the Yamsuf. So that's yet another level, right? They got out of slavery, got out of the country. Then all the people that were out to get them in the past, they know they're dead at Kriyas Yamsuf. That's the third level of Geula. And then, Vilakachti, and that is Matan Torah, that he promised them they would get redeemed with Matan Torah. And so too, there are four lashonos of gula for when Mashiach comes. Lasad lavu, pasuk in Yecheskel, perek lamed dalad, pasuk yud gimel, also has four lashonos of gula, different lashonos. It says v'otzeisim min ha'amim, mekibatzim min ha'rotzos, v'aviyosim el admasim, v'reisim el hari Yisrael. So there'll be four lashonos of gula for the gula asida. This is consistent with Rabbeinu Bechai. He says that the gula of Mitzrayim is a hint to the ultimate gula that we will have b'mhir of Yomeinu. Okay. And Hashem also says, "Hayvesi eschem el aretz hazos asher nasasi esyadi losi sasol Avram Yitzchak Yaakov. I'll bring you to Israel. Benasati osal lachem morasha ani Hashem. I will give it to you as a morasha. Morasha is an inheritance, but Rabbeinu Bechai says this was actually a hint to them of something not great, that they were not inherited themselves. It would be a morasha, something they wouldn't give on to their children, because the people who would leave Mitzrayim would not actually see Israel because they were going to sin. So it was going to be an inheritance to their kids. Okay, then we have, so Hashem tells Moshe in Pasuk Yigimel, Vayidab Hashem Moshe El Aram, Vayitzavim El Bnei Yisrael. Hashem commanded them to Bnei Yisrael. So Rashi says it means that Hashem commanded them to treat Bnei Yisrael, you know, good, don't deal with them nicely. Endure them. So Rabbeinu Bechai just brings a medrash that says, "His hirim al avodas gilulim." That's what he had to command them, because in the time of Yitzias Mitzrayim, they were still worshiping avodah zarah. So Moshe had to let them know they need to stop this, like now, so they can get out of Mitzrayim. Okay. So Hashem tells Moshe that he's going to harden Paro's heart, and so he won't let them free till the 10 makos are over. So everybody asks the question, what does it mean Hashem's going to harden Paro's heart? If Hashem hardened Paro's heart, why was he getting punished? It's not his fault. How is it fair that he gets punished for not letting the Jewish people go when his heart was hardened? So I'll bring the second answer Rabbeinu Bechai brings first, because that's the one we're probably all familiar with. The Medrash that says Hashem didn't harden his heart till the last five makos. The first five makos, he hardened his own heart. And the last five makos, because they would have been so difficult to be sovil, to endure, so therefore Hashem hardened his heart so he could endure them, and that actually gives him an opportunity to do tshuva, because without that, it's just someone having a gun to his head. So he hardened his heart so that he would be able to withstand the makos. Okay, but the first pshat he gave is not as famous, but as obvious, which, in other words, what Paro sinned was not now, was what he sinned, Havin Ischak Malo, the whole everything, throwing the kids in the Yehor and enslaving them. There's no tzaddik over here. He got punished because of all the stuff he did till that point. And then the hardening of his heart was because he deserved to be punished. But it wasn't because of the hardening of his heart that he was punished. Anyway, but the second answer, again, is the one we're more familiar with, that his heart was hardened to give him because he couldn't have endured it otherwise. And Rabbi Abachai says, like we explained last week, that this was the remez in the burning bush. The burning bush was supposed, when Moshe saw the burning bush, that was supposed to be a remez to Paro, that the sneh was on fire, ve'einenu ukal, but it was not getting burnt up. That was, the Paro would be on fire from the makos, but he would not be destroyed. Hashem would harden his heart. Okay. Hashem promises Moshe, ve'otzeisi tzivosai, I will take out my legions. So what is that referring to? So Rabbi Abachai says, because the tzvos of Shemayim are the stars in the sky, the malachim, the things in Shemayim. So what's tzivos? So what does it mean Hashem's going to take out tzivosai? So the first pshat Rabbi Abachai says is that the Bnei Yisrael are compared to that, because we're compared to the stars in the sky. We're also compared to the tzvos of Hashem. The Yud Beis Shvatim are connected, the Yud Beis Mazalos are the whole Klal Yisrael, connected things in Shemayim. So that's what it means. Now Hashem says, Hotzeisi et Tzivosai, he means the Jewish people. The other possibility is, it means what it sounds like. When the Jewish people get out of Egypt, so will the hosts of Shemayim. That is because we have a principle, Shechinta Begalusa. That when the Jewish people are in Galus, so is the Shechina. And if the Shechina is in Galus, all the other malachim are going to be in Galus. So everybody's in Galus. So that's what it means. When we're saved, it's also Tesis Zivosai. Hashem is taking out all the heavenly hosts. They also go out because when the Shechina is in Galus and they're in Galus, the Shechina is out of Galus, they're out of Galus too. Okay. Then we have the story where Moshe comes to Paro and throws down his stick and it turns into a snake. Okay. So, why did it turn into a snake? Why did Hashem make it turn into a giraffe or a rhinoceros? Why did it turn into a snake? What's the Indian of a snake? So the Indian of the snake is, we know, Lashon Hara, right? That's the snake is infamous for, the speaker of Lashon Hara. So whenever somebody says something bad, that's when you're going to see a snake. Like when Moshe did the original, the test run, when Hashem was speaking to Moshe, and Hashem said, Moshe, throw down your stick, and it turned into a snake. It's because, right, like the Mefarshim say, because the Moshe had spoken Lashon Hara, Rabbi Abachai said this too, Moshe had spoken Lashon Hara about the Jewish people saying they wouldn't believe him. So therefore the stick turned into a snake. So here, why does the stick turn into a snake? Same thing. Paro said something bad. Paro said, Mi Hashem Asher Eshma Bekolo. So when you say things like that, so that's why it was a snake, because he said something he wasn't supposed to say. And he also points out in the Midbar too, when the Bnei Yisrael said, it says, Vayidaber ha'am be'elokim u'b'moshe. Why'd you take us out of Mitzrayim for this nasty bread? So there also is their talk. So that's why the Nechashim came and Vayinashchu ha'am. That's why also in the Midbar we had that the snakes bit the Jewish people. Because it's always when something is said incorrectly, that's where you have things turn into a snake. Now, Moshe has definitely turned into a snake. What about the, we know the Paro's magicians came and they also turned their sticks into a snake. So did their sticks actually become snakes or was it a scam? Well, there's different opinions about that. Rabbi Abachai brings two opinions. And one of them is that it was, they actually turned into snakes. The opinion he likes though is that he thinks is more correct, is that the magicians of Egypt, they did not actually turn them into snakes. It was a good magic trick. But it wasn't that they really were snakes. Their sticks didn't actually turn into snakes. And he says the proof is because the pasuk says Vayivla, it says Vayishlichayu ish mateo Vayivla taninim Vayivla mate aron es matosam. So he says the that shows you the fact that it says by the Chartumim matosam and not their snakes is a riot that it was a scam. And I guess even though it says that same thing by Aaron's, so either you could say like Rashi that it was when it would turn back to a stick already, or that no one would make the mistake by Aaron, but by the magicians you might have made a mistake thinking that it's a scam, and if it wasn't, it should have told you that they were actually snakes. Okay, anyway, that's what he says, that he thinks that the Khartoum were always fakers, and there was just it made it look like it was a snake, but it wasn't actually a snake, whereas Aaron's was an actual snake. Okay, then we have the plague of the water turning to blood. Makas dam. And then it says that the Chartumim did it too. Okay, this is a very famous question. Rabbi Abachai asks it. It's a very famous question that many ask it. How in the world did the magicians, after Moshe turned all the water in Egypt into blood, It says, then the Chartumim took some water. What water? How did the Chartumim have water to turn into blood to show they could do it too? I thought all the water in Egypt was blood. So how did the Chartumim have water afterwards to turn into blood? Okay, so he gives a bunch of different answers. One is that the whole Gzera was only on the Yaor. It was only the Nile River turned into blood, none of the other water. Beit HaBachai rejects that. It's not clear to me, anyway, if that first pshat somebody said it, just not him, or he was just throwing it out there as an opinion. But either way, he rejects. He says it's not possible because there's a pasuk that says, Al Narosam, Yorehem, Magmehem. Obviously, it wasn't just on the Nile River. It had to be on everything. So what's his pshat? He says that there was no gzera on the water that was underground. The Makkah did not affect water underground. That's why it says they were digging to get water, so there was water underground. Another pshat, he says, is since Moshe was warning about this, as we know with the Makkos, right, he warned them in advance, they put some water aside, and before Moshe did his thing, they did their thing. And they said, look, by the way, he's going to try to do this. Look, we could do it too. So sounds a little dochik in the pasuk, but that's another pshat he gives. And just letting you know, if you look in the Targum, Yonasan, you'll see he says that they turned the water in, that the Chartumim turned the water, some water from Goshen, into blood. That is Jewish water, in other words. Yeah, the Jews had, so they took some water from the Jews and they turned that into blood. Okay, that's not Rabbeinu Chai, doesn't say that pshat. That's in the Targum Yonasan. But those are the other pshatim of the Rabbeinu Bechai, that either the Gzera was not on the water buried beneath the ground, or that this was just done in advance. And the other related question is, what do people drink for 7 days if there was no water? I think we're all familiar with that they bought water from the guy, from the Jews, rather. So that's one possibility. Anyway, what the Rabbeinu Bechai suggests is, first of all, what we said before would work. There was water underground. You know, any of the pshatim we said before, well, that one would work. The Gzera wasn't on water underground. Another possibility is they were shutfin, if the Jew and the Mitzri were shutfin in the water, they were partners, so then that's how they could have had water. Or, and this is interesting, they drank not your average water, that is, they drank seawater, because the seawater, salty water, didn't turn into blood, just drinkable water didn't turn into blood, so they were stuck drinking the non-drinkable. In other words, things that were still water, but just not drinkable, for whatever reason, that did not turn into blood, so they were stuck drinking that. Okay, and that's, by the way, where Rav Saadia Gaon says, that last pshat. Next, kinim. So, kinim was a departure from the first two makos. There was dam, tzvardeya. Those were not really completely new creations. There was... the Rabbeinu Bechai says the property of water can switch to being blood, and tzvardeya were just gathered from the sea, whereas these lice were actually created out of thin air. There was nothing to work with. They were just created out of thin air. It was a complete miracle, and that's why the Chartumim couldn't replicate it in any way, shape, or form. And they said it was etzba Elokim. This is the finger of God. So Rabbeinu Bechai points out that we find this also by the planets. It says Maisei Etzba Osecha. It says by the Luchos, the Lashon of Etzba. So that's to tell you that to Hashem, all this stuff is the same. Creating lice, creating planets, the Luchos, to Hashem, it's all can be done with the tip of his finger. Kaviyachol. He also mentions that the magicians went down in status at this point. Till now, they were called Chartumei Mitzrayim, meaning in Dam, when you refer to the magicians, till now, till Kinim, it always called them a Chartumei Mitzrayim because they were the pride of Egypt. They were like the experts. These were the magicians of Egypt. They were like the top in their field. But after this whole story went, they started looking stupider and stupider. And by Kinim, where they gave up, so then the Pasuk stops calling them Chartumei Mitzrayim. They're just called Chartumim because nobody was proud of them anymore. They're just like, yeah, our magicians. And it was written, it's written Chasser. This is all to show that they lost their luster. Okay, next is Arov. And that the pasuk there says, "Vihiflesi," that Hashem will show a separation between the Jewish people and the Mitzrim. So what was special about Arov that it needs a special Vihiflesi? So he says, because the other Makos, this is what he says. The other Makos, it wasn't as big of an ace that it did not affect the Jewish people who lived in Goshen. Dom, you could hear a little bit. Tzvardeya, you would think that would be miraculous too, but I guess not as much. Anyway, he says that Arov was a super miracle. The fact that you had wild beasts, lions and tigers, running around free and attacking in everybody, you know, like just besetting everyone, and they stayed out of a certain neighborhood, that was a super nace. And not only that, it says v'yiflis v'yom ha'hu and pasuk yiches, and then pasuk yiches it says v'samti fedus b'nami u'v'namecha. So he says those are teaching you two different things. The first pasuk of v'yiflis v'yom ha'hu, that's teaching you that there were no animals that showed up in Goshen. And then the next pasuk that says v'samti fedus tells you that if a Jew happened to find himself outside of Goshen, he still, the lion wouldn't mess with him and he'd go after the mitzri who was standing next to him. So that's why the first pasuk, it's again, this is in Perek Ches, pasuk Yud Ches, it says, V'flesi v'yomahu es eretz Goshen. I'll make Goshen separate, that no wild animals went into Goshen. Then in pasuk Yud Ches, v'samti v'dus b'inami u'v'inamecha, that's to tell you that if a Jew was not in Goshen, he happened to be in Mitzrayim, in the capital city, he wouldn't be attacked by animals there either. And the Ramban, this is, it's not a direct quote, but the Ramban says the same thing. And in a similar vein, the Ramban also says, by Dever, b'miknecha, Rabbeinu Bachai quotes this, I'm not mentioning it, but b'miknecha, sher basadeh, when it came to Dever, when they were told that the mikneh in the field would die, since it wasn't limited to the field, the animals anywhere would die, but that's where the animals were, in the fields. And they weren't just in the fields, they were in Goshen. Remember, why did Jews go to Goshen? Because that's where there was room for animals to graze, and the Mitzrim didn't want to be anywhere near that. So that means the Jewish animals and the Mitzri animals were all mixed together over there. And yet, that was the big nace that only the... And it's a plague, you understand, right? How it gets spread. So they were all next to each other, and none of the Jewish animals died, so that was the nace of... part of the nace of Dever. Okay, skipping now to Barad. So, the Rabbeinu Bachai says, it should have said, Lo haya b'mitrayim kamohu, not asher lo haya kamohu b'mitrayim. So what it means, the pasuk means to tell you is that asher lo haya kamohu, there was never a bar like this anywhere, period. Obviously, with the fire and the ice together, that's certainly not. So asher lo haya kamohu means that there was no such bar ever in history. And then, b'mitrayim is like kol shekein in Egypt. How often does it rain in Egypt at all? So the fact that it was... it certainly never had a... This is a super-duper miracle, I mean, in Egypt. Anywhere else would be a miracle, especially in Egypt. Okay, then it says, Shlacha is es miknecha. So Moshe warned them that they should take in their cattle because they're going to die from the barad. So again, a similar question to what we've been asking before. What mikne? Didn't they all die? They all died in Dever, right? They were supposed to have died in Dever. So how were there any mikne left? So again, he gives a few answers. Either they bought it from afterwards from other people, or they had a shutvus with a Jew, or the pashup shot, which is that it didn't mean literally they all died in Dever. It means most of them died in Dever. Torah always, Ramban says this in many places, the Torah always talks with Rove. So when it says that all the animals die, it doesn't mean literally everyone. It meant most of them died, because Torah always goes Basar Rove. And then Paro does a vidui over here. He says, Hashem HaTzadik V'ani V'ami HaRishayim. So he says, Hashem is a tzadik, and he takes his whole nation down with him. He says, I sinned and my nation sinned. So Rabbeinu Bachai wants to know what's with the nation? Why is he mentioning the nation sinned? He says the reason he did vidui on what the nation sinned is because he thought that he might get stuck with that problem, because he's the king. So maybe it's not just he sinned, but he caused his whole nation to sin. So he knew that he was responsible for that too. So that's why he did vidui for them, because it was really for himself. In other words, he knew he was responsible for that. So therefore, he said, me and my nation. In other words, because of me, sinned. And that's why he was doing vidui. And he davened. It's interesting, Rabbeinu Bechai points out that this Makkah of Barad, all of us, I think of the Makkah of Barad as being bad because hail was falling on their head. The thunder was like, whatever, who cares? Rabbeinu Bechai makes this thunder thing very serious. People were dying because of the thunder. It must have been a really loud clap followed by scary, scary hail that would come down with fire in it and great things and burn things. So it seems that it wasn't just the Barad. The thunder was a really big part of this Makkah. It would freak everybody out, and then the hail would fall on them, and they'd die. So when he paro davened that should go away, v'rav miyos kolos elokim u'barad. Like, first thing he mentioned was enough with the thunder was a real problem. Like, that was a big part of the Makkah. And of course, changes his mind. Vayosef lachato. He continues to sin. And so Rabbeinu Bechai just says that it was his gaiva, that a Russia, when they're under, you know, when they're have their back behind the wall, then they are machnia themselves. But as soon as they're out of the bad situation, they become bali gaiva again. Tzadikim are the opposite; they're always mashpal themselves, and that's what it says: gav asadam tashpilenu v'shval ruach yismoch kavod. That the gaiva of a person will knock them down, and people who are knocked down will yismoch kavod, will have kavod.